Hello and welcome. Come with me to an August morning in East Texas. I'm riding in the back of a pickup with a box of acid-free folders on my knees, trying not to let them slide into a puddle of sweet tea. We're idling beside a small cinder block church about to be demolished to widen a county road. The heat presses on your shoulders. Deacon Moore, straw hat, gentle voice, eyes like a ledger, has his phone out, calling cousins. Right now, if you can, baby. I had a grant clock ticking, a school district waiting, release forms ready for a full unit on local history. My plan was tidy. Document the site, record the elders, drop it into fourth grade curriculum by October. I'd checked property records, state archives, the County Historical Commission, confirmed the church wasn't on the National Register. It should have worked like a well-packed suitcase. It didn't, because I brought the wrong calendar. The church wasn't just a building. It was a cornerstone. First Black veterans meetings in the 1940s, the Freedom Summer Bus in 64, sweet potato pies that defined homecoming. The congregation wasn't ready to be recorded. The artifacts, ledgers, a hand-painted voter registration banner, hymnals, stayed locked behind the pulpit. And Miss L took one look at my fancy forms and said, "Sweetheart, we're still deciding how we feel." That line rewired me. Local history isn't an extraction. It's an offering. The best stories show up when the community is ready and the story is present. So I did the thing I'm worst at. I waited. Not idly. I got a letter confirming demolition. Secured access with the deacon's permission, built a mobile digitization kit, reserved a possible project day with a teacher in November. But I stopped pushing for interviews. In oral history, relationship is as important as record. The turning point wasn't a grant officer or a planner. It was a Sunday in mid-August, one final homecoming before the bulldozers. Folks came back from Dallas, Houston, Little Rock. The deacon said, "If you want to ask about how it was, that would be the day." I'd been watching permits. He was watching people. And people, when they gather, bring memory like a potluck dish. Homecoming day was one part logistics, one part listening, one part sweaty improvisation. We started with the artifacts because humidity plus paper equals regret. An assistant rolled out a scanner on a folding table. We photographed everything where it lived, recorded short oral captions in people's own words, and gave each item a temporary ID. Later, a student could see ledger entry June 5, 1947, cake sale to send boys to Ag College, and hear Miss L explain who baked those cakes and why that tiny note was a push toward opportunity. Between services, we set up two chairs in the shade. No lights, no boom mics. Just a camera, consent forms, and cold water. People didn't line up, they drifted. Miss L opened with, "I don't think I remember much," then told me exactly where the Freedom Summer bus parked, who brought lemonade when someone slashed the tires, and how the choir switched from hymn 192 to 204 when the deputy walked in. History unspooled, not because we demanded it, but because the moment invited it. It clicked. Timing in local history isn't your availability and deadlines. It's the community's rhythm. It's when memory surfaces because the setting says it's time to tell. You can't manufacture that, but you can listen for it. I saw it again at the photo wall. Copies of old snapshots, baptisms at the creek, a Thanksgiving soup line, a softball team in uniforms sewn by two sisters. Folks pointed, disagreed, corrected spellings. That's gold for teaching. Students see history as a conversation, not a single answer. We captured names as spoken, asked for the EA in Pearl instead of a U, and accepted real-time corrections as trust, not failure. Then a thunderhead rolled in, and we packed the scanner with seconds to spare. August Rain is the final editor. So, when should you conduct field research for a local history project? I stopped saying as soon as possible and started saying when the community is ready and the story is present. To make that practical, I use 5 keys. Simple, but they've saved me more times than my best camera. 1, have a laser-focused question and say it out loud. Your question is your North Star and your introduction. Ours was, what was the social and civic role of Pleasant Grove Baptist Church in Larkspur from 1940 to 1980? 1 breath, clear. People instantly know if they can help. Miss L heard it and said, you need to talk to Deacon Williams' widow. She kept all the meeting minutes. If you can't fit your question on a sticky note, it's not ready. Tell it to a neighbor in a coffee line. If they can repeat it, you're close. 2, use the community's clock, not just yours. Ask, when are people already coming together? Homecoming, Juneteenth, the county fair, treaty anniversaries, the first day the cannery opens, even a beloved elder's repast. Those gatherings are tide pools where memory collects. If demolition or a move out is imminent, run 2 tracks. Emergency documentation to prevent loss, and a listening day when people are ready. The first saves artifacts. The second saves context. 1 without the other is a half-built bridge. 3, prepare to pivot fast. When the window opens, you won't have time to order gear or print forms. Keep a go bag, a basic scanner or camera, gloves, pencils, simple consent forms, a name spelling sheet, bottled water, painter's tape, and a short checklist so you don't forget the power strip. Think first aid kit for memory. Preparation turns a lucky moment into a lasting archive. 4, start small and human. People say more when it doesn't feel like a TV studio. 2 chairs, shade. And respect beat the fanciest rig. Begin with, what would you like recorded today? And what should wait? Let them set boundaries. Record short identifications as they point at photos. Ask for spellings like you're protecting stone, because you are. If someone says, not yet, hear timing, not rejection. 5, close the loop quickly and give back first. Within a week, share a small set of scans with names, dates, and a thank you. Drop off a thumb drive or printed photo pack. Credit people exactly as they asked. Invite corrections and add them. That rapid return keeps momentum and shows you're building together. It opens doors for the next conversation, the next album, the cousin from Houston who might still have the choir robes in a trunk. Trust is cumulative. Memory. Why this matters, especially with students. When you align with community rhythms, you don't just collect stories, you build experiences. Imagine a classroom hearing this L. Describe the bus, the tires, the hymn switch. Freedom Summer isn't a paragraph. It's a decision made by people students can name. I've watched kids sit taller and ask sharper questions because they could point to a ledger entry and say, I know who baked those cakes. Quick reality check. Timing doesn't mean you wait for a miracle. It means you do the quiet work. Permissions, kits, schedules, so that when the moment comes, you're ready. It means asking better questions. Not how do I fit this into October, but when will the community already be in a storytelling mood? It means measuring progress not only in files created, but in relationships strengthened. If you're thinking, okay, what do I do tomorrow? Try 3 steps. 1, write your 1 breath question and test it on someone who wasn't in your planning meeting. 2, call a community connector, the deacon, the librarian who knows everyone, the auntie who runs the bake sale, and ask, what's coming up when people will already be together? 3, pack a small go bag so you can say yes when someone texts, we're meeting Sunday, come if you can. The nitty-gritty, equipment lists, consent tips, humidity and fragile paper, budget digitizing, is in the written guide. In your earbuds today, stay with the why. Timing is the difference between a project that breathes and a project that sits on a shelf. I still think about that truck bed, the sweet tea, the heat, and Miss L beginning with, I don't think I remember much, before giving us a map of courage and hospitality. None of that was on my original timeline. All of it arrived when the community said, now. Honor that clock and you'll be amazed at what surfaces. The stories, the songs. The ledger lines that become lifelines for the next generation. May your question be clear, your bag ready, your ears open, and your timing right. And if you hear, we're still deciding how we feel, take a breath. That's not a door closing. That's the hinge.